Starsports.bet provide the complete betting experience. Find us online via our website and app, on course, and at our flagship betting shop in London's Mayfair. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Golf Postcast for the final time this year. Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer, and Star Sports Glenn Day, looking back on last week's tournament in South Africa. But more importantly, looking ahead to three great tournaments this week. 18 runners contest the Hero World Challenge in America, and that field contains some of the biggest names in golf. The European Tour hits Mauritius, where there are none of the biggest names in golf. And we've got a decent field down under for the Australian Open. A quick word on last week's tournament in South Africa, the Alfred Dunhill. Beautiful golf course and an amazing final day, Steve, wasn't it? Because Pablo Larrazabal started with, a four-shot lead. Shot 41 going out and won. I mean, at the turn, it didn't look like he was even going to finish, did it? He had the blisters on his feet. I felt for him, the poor guy. But how he won that, heaven only knows. It was some finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, very dramatic final round. I mean, Pablo Larrazabal has a 50-1 chance at the start. But he's 8-11 going into the final round until he gave that interview where he said he's got serious foot blisters before the round. Then everyone a little bit concerned, but it seemed to be going all right. And then in the middle of the round, he could hardly walk. He was falling over. He's losing his balance on shots. He looked done and dusted. But fought back with a birdie at the final hole, a win by a shot. I mean, he was very lucky that the players around him, very nervous. Not a lot of them haven't won for a while. Brandon Grace is in a bit of a trough. So, gutsy effort from Pablo.
Did you enjoy the wildlife, Steve? Did you see that there's some amazing stuff? There was crocodile, there were elephants. You could see the elephants from the greens. My favourite shot, they had this kingfisher and it had caught a fish and the fish was like slithering around in its beak the kingfisher was whacking the fish against the branch. It was brilliant. Did you see that?
I saw a lot of the wildlife. I mean, it's on the bucket list, isn't it? Leopard Creek is on the bucket list because if you had 10 golf courses to play in the world, it would definitely be on there, wouldn't it? Because the views
absolutely
are incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the vegetarians need to take a look at it. In the natural world, animals eat animals, and I won't go on that part.
Well, I thought you had a brief dalliance with vegetarianism recently, didn't you?
I did have a brief dalliance with vegetarianism, but if you watch the Attenborough programmes, which are on BBC at the moment, they're fantastic. You know, a lot of them is just polar bears eating seals. I was watching the ad on Record last night. We must be aware that since the Big Bang or however it started, animals have eaten animals. So yeah,
okay.
This won't get the golf winners.
No, absolutely. Was Larrazabal a good result or a bad result for the bookies, Glenn?
It's a very quiet betting event, in all honesty, Bruce. None of the big names on show, so it didn't attract a lot of interest. But it was a good result overall. I mean, we kept about 80% of what we took last week. So it's a smallish stakes, but yeah, decent enough.
That's about as good as it gets, isn't it? I mean, can you ever have an even better skinner than keeping 80% of the field money?
Yeah, not very often, I would have thought. No, but so when you take fewer bets, obviously, it's easier to keep a higher percentage, I would say. But everything, didn't lay the winner and didn't see any each-way money on the guys in the frame. So, yeah.
You sound a bit under the weather, Glenn. Are you okay? Are you suffering?
Oh, a little bit croaky. Well, I was away last weekend at Newbury, wasn't I? And it was bloody cold on Saturday, trust me. And, started to get a bit snivelly over the weekend. I didn't think I was necessarily going to make it yesterday, but, yeah.
It's emotion.
I'm giving it a go.
It's more emotion. It's the last podcast of the year. Glenn's very emotional. I think it's more emotion.
I'm not surprised. We're all choking up. Okay, let's...
I've got a box of tissues nearby.
Good, good. Okay. I won't make the joke I was going to. The Hero World Challenge takes place in the Bahamas. And it starts, Steve, on Wednesday, doesn't it? So we need to crack on and get our bets quickly. Why is it on Wednesday?
Absolutely, because the President's Cup is next week in Australia and 11 of the 12 American President's Cuppers are playing this week. So they need it to finish on Saturday so they can jet over to Melbourne and adjust to a new time zone. So, yeah, Tiger Woods is court tournament. He can do what he likes. He's demanded a Wednesday start so they can get away. So, yeah, punters really need to be on the ball. We've got a 3:40 p.m.
Sorry, it's 3:40. It's this afternoon, isn't it? 3:40. Jesus.
God. That's what I feel bad about going on about vegetarians. I mean, we can't mess about here.
Okay, fine.
3:40 p.m. Wednesday.
That's
the Hero
today.
Starts.
All right, there's
today.
No shelf life on this program, all right?
That's today. 3:40 today. And then you've got the Australian Open starting at 7:50 p.m. today.
Wow.
And then And then you've got the Mauritius Open starting at 2:20 a.m. today, if you're a night owl, you know, Thursday.
That's tomorrow. You're stretching the whole thing about today too much there.
But I'm just trying to get everyone eager and active.
Okay,
right.
Oh, we have had people on Twitter saying, are you doing it on Tuesday because it's such an early start? Sadly, we're not, but we will spin through the tips nice and quickly so you've got plenty of time to get your bets on. Steve, how many tips have you got in the Hero? Oh, no, hang on. Sorry, can we get the show of betting? I've fallen apart here. Glenn, give us the tournament rating and a show of betting. Full show.
A full show?
There's only 18 of them, blimey.
Quicker!
It's a tournament rating 8, quarter the odds the first four. 4-1, John Rahm. 13-2, Justin Thomas. 17-2, Patrick Cantlay. 9, Tiger. 9, Xander Schauffele. 12, Webb Simpson. 14, Ricky Fowler. 16, Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Rose and Patrick Reed. 18, Gary Woodland. 22, Jordan Spieth and Tony Finau. 28, Henrik Stenson. 30, Matt Kuchar. 35, Kevin Kisner. 40, Bubba Watson. And 60-1, Ches Reavy.
So there you go. I said it was a good field. God, I feel like we're on the clock, don't you? We're like a three ball that's on the clock. So I want concise. I want only the best stuff in terms of why you're validating your selections. So tell me the name of the selection and then a really nice, crisp reason why. Steve, your main tip is?
John Rahm, magnificent return to action in the DP World Tour Championship last time out. 6 weeks off before that, so fresh as a daisy. Said he hardly touched a club, but got straight back into the groove. He won the Spanish Open on his start preceding that by 5 shots. So he's going for 3 in a row this week. Just won the race of Dubai. Can't see him failing to contend. Looks an each way bet to nothing. I know you love that expression, but it came true last time we said it with Rory McIlroy in the DP World Tour Championship. Yeah, when these class acts go to a happy hunting ground, very hard to get out of the frame. Rahm's had one go at Albany last year. He was slow out the gates, so he adjusted to the new terrain. Finished at 20 under par, won by 4 shots. Lots of players in this field having long breaks, lacking sharpness. He's coming back. He had his A game the week before last. I think Rahm's unstoppable this week, and he gets married next week, right on the crest of a wave. Marries his beautiful Kelly Cahill next week. I think Rahm's an overwhelming favourite this week.
Okay, you've done that classic postcast thing. When I try and give people the hurry up, they say exactly the same amount of words, but just as twice as quickly as normal.
I had a lot more to offer, but yeah.
No, that's it. You're already convinced us, Glenn. Who are you going to go for?
I'm going John Rahm, ditto.
Brilliant. Is there anything you want to add? Maybe one little sentence that Steve didn't put out.
He's currently the best player on the planet.
That's what I like to hear.
The most informed player wins.
Brilliant. Okay, 2 strong votes for the jolly John Rahm. Steve, you got one other selection, I believe.
Well, I said Bryson DeChambeau at 20-1. Very, very high comfort levels at Albany. He uses Albany as his close season practice base. Since 2016, he's been going there every year in the close season. Since his last US Tour event, he's spent most of his time there. A lot of that in the gym. He's bulking up at the moment. He's got this obsession with bulking up. He wants to improve his driving distance stats, but also being on the course as well. So nobody in this field has had more Albany practice rounds than DeChambeau. Last year on his Hero debut, he made an eagle and 22 birdies. So you'd expect him to contend with those figures, but made a lot of mistakes too and finished 12th. But I can see DeChambeau repeating that birdie yield. He signed off with a 63 in his last PGA Tour event, finished 4th in the Shriners Open. And I think a lot of players who are playing in the American President's Cup team next week would be distracted by that. There's a lot of team bonding going on for Tiger Woods and his team this week. Tiger Woods has paired the players together that he wants to play together next week. There's a lot of distraction, but I think DeChambeau is a very single-minded, self-obsessed player. I think he'll be focused on more individual glory this week.
Okay, how do you qualify for this tournament, by the way? What gives these 18 the right to play?
World rankings, and then there's a little a couple of invites at the end that Tiger has. Tiger's in charge.
Okay, are you putting anyone else up, Glenn, or is it all eggs in the big John Rahm basket?
All eggs in the one basket, Bruce, yep.
Okay, mate, lovely. We'll have a quick break and then we will do the Mauritius Open.
On the move. Follow all the latest starsports.bet golf prices hole by hole on our website and betting app. Just search for Star Sports Bet on the App Store or Google Play. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Right then, welcome back. That was the quality tournament, the Hero World Championship. We've now got the Mauritius Open, where there's a distinct lack of quality. Glenn, you're going to give this a low rating, aren't you?
I am indeed. I believe this is the lowest we've had by some stretch, a two.
Ooh,
this week.
Blimey. You get any lower than that, and you and I are playing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is an event in Japan this week that gets a rating of a four, so it shows you how poor it is. With 50 odds the first six, 9-1 Thomas Peters, 12-1 Thomas Detry, 16 George Kutsia, 18 Romain Langasque, 20 Christian Bezuidenhout, Justin Harding, Xander Lombard, 25 Benjamin Hébert, Shubhankar Sharma, and 28-1 Brendan Stone.
Not so much quality, but there can still be some great value bets, Steve. And who's your main man?
My main man is Shubhankar Sharma, an Indian youngster who rose to world number 64 in spring last year. He'd won twice on the European Tour. He contended for a long way in the WGC Mexico Championship, had the world at his feet, but then his form disappeared and nobody could quite work out why until his longtime coach started asking about Sharma's golf shoes. It's a fascinating story, this one. Nike had signed up Sharma after his amazing burst of form. He was the first Indian to be signed by Nike. They provided him with some golf shoes, and the Nike shoes are modern ones with flat soles. And Sharma had grown up with playing in raised heels, and without realizing, he started modifying his swing slightly to compensate for the altered stance that he had. And these minuscule changes like this can have massive effects on a golfer, and it took months before Sharma and his team worked out what was happening. But about a year ago, they got the shoe situation sorted. Nike provided these special insoles, and he's slowly but surely been remolding his swing back to how it was. A tie for 17th place at Wentworth in the B&W PGA was encouraging. He followed that up with 7th place in the Italian Open, 7th place in the Turkish Airlines Open. So, yeah, Sharma's right back in business at the age of 23. He performed solidly at the Heritage on his only previous visit there, 27th at this venue in 2017. His maiden European Tour victory came in the Joburg Open, so in Africa. He's back in Africa this week. He's the 2018 European Tour Rookie of the Year, and he's back in business.
What was the fascinating part of that story, mate?
I think he's a shoo-in.
I'm down the pub tonight with my mates. I can't wait to tell him that one. Blimey. No, that is interesting for sure. How raised were the heels on the old one? Were like platform shoes, or
he used quite old-fashioned golf shoes with a big chunky heel, and then he couldn't work out what was happening. So, when I read that in the Hindu Times or whatever it was, I was fascinated.
Blimey, exhaustive research, Steve. Very impressive.
I don't mess about. Yeah.
No, Glenn, how many tips have you got on this?
I've got just the one. I'm going all in again on this one.
Oh wow, who are you going to go for?
You'll be very disappointed, though, and I am slightly Thomas Peters. When I was scanning through the entries last week, I was just like, this guy's going to be a 6-1 chance. A few other guys come into it, pushed his price out a bit, but I think he's by far and away the best player in the field currently. There's a few guys in there with potential, so I think he'll do the business this week. Always been a lot of expected of him. He's got 4 European Tour victories to his name now, as well as a World Cup of Golf with Thomas Detry, one of his enemy this week. He's been tied 4th in the Masters 2017, tied 6th in the 2018 USPGA, a couple of top 5s in Wealth Gold Championships. He represented Europe in the 2016 Ryder Cup, played really well in the singles, and also finished tied 4th at the Olympics. Was ranked 23rd in the world in 2017. So I think he's got quite a decent CV, someone who gets a lot of flack. Lost a bit of consistency in the last few years, but played well again this year. The undoubted highlight was a second victory in the Czech Masters, and it's the way he went about winning that tournament that impressed me. Basically got the drive out in every hole, drove it really well and reduced it to a drive and a short iron on most holes, and a layout that measures 7,500 yards. This week's course is just under 7,000. And with a similar approach, I think he could really reap dividends. He's been out there for a week, possibly part holiday, but acclimatising, getting used to the golf course. So I think he's going there to win. He doesn't normally play this deep into the season. Going there to win and get another win on his CV. 6th last time out at the DP World Tour Championship. It was a really good effort against a much better quality field. Drives it long, as I say. 7th in greens in regulation at the French Open. 5th in Dubai 2 weeks ago. Does need a better week on the greens, but he'll have plenty of opportunities, and I can see him making mincemeat in his course.
Blimey, Steve, listening to that, are you regretting the fact that you've got off the Thomas Peters Express at the last stop?
No, obviously respect Thomas Peters. I think he's world class, but very large greens this week at the Heritage, and he's not been putting very well lately, and it's his debut. And he's not got a great record in Africa generally, but yeah, I respect him, but the price, he wasn't for me.
Okay, you've got three other tips, Steve. Please spin through them nice and quick.
Next best is Romain Langasque. I'm certain Romain Langasque will become a European Tour champion. I know I've been banging on him about for ages. I'm probably getting people frustrated, but I think he's really good. And Heritage is an ideal assignment. He's an ambassador for the course. He knows it well. A lot of the French like to spend their free time in Mauritius. And in the last Mauritius Open at this venue, he finished third, despite being in absolutely woeful form coming into the event. He'd missed 16 cuts that year. He had turned up in this tournament at this course and finished third. This time in much more positive frame of mind. He's finished, he's been a leaderboard regular this season, sixth in Kenya, fifth in China, third in Denmark, third in the Scottish Open. And his record in Africa generally is superb. So I see Sharma and Langasque as the main bets this week. Two more. Johannes Veerman, an American. He's been plying his trade on the Asian Tour, but he claimed a European Tour card last month at Q School. Amazing performance over the final four rounds of Q School. He outscored everyone in the field over the closing 72 holes, and he's made good use of that card already. He finished seventh last week in the Alfred Dunhill Championship. And at the end of his only previous visit to the Heritage, the course used this week, he closed with a 67, which was bettered by only two players that day. So we know Veerman can act on this course. And the final one at a massive price is Clement Sorde, who, like Langasque, is attached to the Heritage. He's playing a virtual home game this week. Sorde's trying to rebuild his career after a disaster at the French Open in October. He took 9 shots at the 18th hole to miss the cut by 1 shot and lost his European Tour card the following week. So a huge setback, but he's good enough to bounce back. He's a 4-time Challenge Tour champion. He almost became a European Tour champion in the Oman Open in March. Agony for his for him and his backers when he three-putted the 18th hole to lose by a shot. I'm still not over that one.
Okay, that'll do. Jolly good. No, that's it. That'll do. There's nothing else I need to know about Clement Sorde.
No, fine.
Okay, if you have missed any of these tips, we will have a solemn recap after we've covered the Australian Open, which starts in the small hours of tomorrow morning at the Australian, which is the oldest golf course on the continent. What's the tournament rating and what are Star Sport's latest prices, Glenn?
Yeah, I guess tournament rating at a very high 3 for this one.
Blimey.
Yeah, I know. It's literally the front half a dozen, isn't it? 50 odds the first 6, 6-1 Adam Scott, 8-1 Louis Oosthuizen, 9-1 Paul Casey, 10-1 Cameron Smith, 12-1 Abraham Anser, Mark Leishman and Sergio Garcia, 18, Jason Scrivener, 25, Matt Jones, and 33, Lucas Herbert and Minwoo Lee.
Now then, Glenn, I'm not having a go at Star Sports or you. The whole industry has done this. There's 7 players at 12-1 or less for a zillion runner golf tournament. Explain that, if you will.
Yeah, but all the others are obviously much bigger price. You bet a very similar percentage on all these tournaments, obviously with the restrictive fields like the 18 runner hero, it's completely different, but the percentage generally comes about the same. So obviously,
fair enough,
they're much, much bigger prices way down the list, yeah.
So the overround is no worse for this than it is in Mauritius. It's just that the market is front-loaded,
yeah,
with contenders.
The bulk of it's taken out on right at the front of the market, yeah.
Okay, it just looked a bit odd. That was all I'm saying. Okay?
Yeah, no, I get that. I completely get that, yeah.
Okay, how many tips have you got, Glenn?
Just the one again.
One again? What's happening here? You're going out in a blaze of glory, aren't you? This is like when Jimi Hendrix set fire to his guitar at the end of Woodstock. Incredible. Well, we'll wait for your one. Steve, you've got a couple, haven't you? Go on, give me your top one, Steve.
Top one is Jason Scrivener, who is more confident than ever at the age of 30. He's just had his most consistent campaign ever on the European Tour. He finished 32nd on the Race to Dubai, and he was superb in the final series. He was 21st in Turkey, 3rd in the Nedbank Challenge, and then closed with a 65 for 10th place in the DP World Tour Championship. So that's serious form in good company that he's bringing to the table this week. And as Glenn says, you get away from the front few. This is a weak grade. Scrivener's banked €500,000 in his last 3 tournaments. You know, it's a lot of confidence comes from banking that kind of cash. Got a very solid Aussie Open record, and he won the New South Wales Open by 6 shots at a course quite close to the Australian. So happy memories of this state.
Okay, is Terry Pilkadaris in it this week? He must be, mustn't he?
I don't remember seeing his name, no.
Why not?
No, I don't know.
Okay, let's try and guess Glenn's tip, shall we, Steve? You go first.
So he's going for a treble, isn't he? I can sense he's going for a treble of short prices. I think he'd probably go Adam Scott.
Oh, of course, he loves Adam, doesn't he?
Loves Adam, yeah.
Is Steve right, Glenn? Is Steve right? Is it Adam you're going for?
Bang on, Adam Scott, yes. Bang on. Only played 21 events this year, despite not winning, been very consistent, 9 top 10 finishes. His recent form at the Australian Open reads 5-1, 32, 4-14, 2-5-2, 14. And on two occasions he's played at this course, the Australian, lost by a shot in 2015 and finished 5th in 2014. He stated earlier this week that his biggest regret is he didn't win more Aussie Opens or majors, for that matter, in the period when he was playing at his best golf. And also that he'd really like to win here at this course, a course that he likes a lot. Those comments alone suggest he's going to turn up with his game head on and not just use the event as a practice for the President's Cup. Finished the FedEx Cup playoffs 5th, 9th, 5th, and more recently 5th at the Japan Open and 11th at the HSBC Champions, where only a third round 75 kept him out of the places. We know he's always been a superb driver of the golf ball and for the last few months been consistently hitting over 70% of greens in regulation. Excuse me, ranking in the top 4 in that category in 4 of his last 6. With his long game in such good order, he should give himself plenty of opportunities. And with a decent week on the greens, not admittedly his strongest part of his game, he can add a long overdue second Aussie Open en route to the President's Cup.
Brilliant. Okay, Glenn. I will be revealing what Glenn's treble pays for a quid after Steve's given us his other selection.
I got an 80-1 shot, a rising star of the game, Blake Windred, who's competing at his home course this week. He was 9th in the world amateur rankings when he turned pro at the end of September. Then he won a stage 2 event of the European Tour Q School by 5 shots. He's finished 8-7-46 in 3 starts as a pro on the Australasian Tour. He played great in the New South Wales Open as an amateur, 2 top 4 finishes in that tournament. He's only 22. He's full of potential. I think he could make home advantage count this week. You know, there's places up for grab, and 80-1 is a lovely price.
Brilliant. I make it about 350-1, Glenn, that treble. Does that sound right?
That does sound about right, yep.
Blimey, you're going for it. Superb stuff. Let's get a recap of this week's golf selections. We will start with the Hero World Challenge. Steve Palmer.
John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau.
Glenn Day.
John Rahm.
The Mauritius Open, Steve.
Shubhankar Sharma, Romain Langask, Johannes Veerman, Clement Sorde.
And Glenn.
Thomas Peters.
The Australian Open, Steve.
Jason Scrivener, Blake Windred.
And Glenn.
Adam Scott.
And if you're only having one golf bet this week, Steve?
John Rahm, Shubhankar Sharma, Jason Scrivener, each way treble.
Love it. 3 tournaments. We can really go for glory and get all that Christmas money paid for. And Glenn, what's your one bet going to be?
Well, I can actually bet that in the early hours this morning, I was having an each way Yankee. And I said there's a golf event in Japan, the Golf Nippon Series JT Cup. And I've sorted one in that, Sean Norris at 10-1. Sean, and it would definitely pay for Christmas.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. Brilliant. How exciting. Okay, just to recap on the times, the Hero World Challenge starts at 3:40 this afternoon. That's Wednesday. 7:50 on Wednesday evening for your Australian Open, and Mauritius Open is something like 2 a.m. Japan will be roughly that as well, I'd imagine. So do get your bets on early. We haven't left a very big window this week, but hopefully you've got enough time to get on, and hopefully you've got enough time to do the potentially very lucrative trebles that the boys have put up. Like I say, even if you only have a quid each way on Glenn's one, that's 2 quid. That'd return 500 quid. That wouldn't be too bad, would it? Okay then, chaps, this is the last podcast of the year. I'd like to thank you so much for your selections, for your wisdom, for your company and being such great sports. Really enjoyed working with you two. the Racing Post golf shows will return next year. One player to follow each for next year.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating year. I mean, you've got John Rahm and Rory McIlroy going for... Have you heard of those two?
Yeah.
They'll be battling for the world number one spot the way things are going. The Yanks, Koepka and Johnson got knee problems. So, yeah, it could be the first few months could be a Rahm v McIlroy show.
Okay. And, Glenn, have you unearthed some similar dark horses to Steve's?
Yeah, I've just got two names of guys I'm definitely going to follow in the first couple of months of the season. One I mentioned a couple of times recently, Kel Samuja, Finnish guy, and a young Norwegian lad who I know Steve has mentioned a couple of times, Christopher Wrighten. And the weaker events at the start of the year, there would be decent prices and they could pay to follow.
And very quickly, one more line. President's Cup next week. It's in Melbourne. Rest of the world versus America. Steve, got a strong view?
I fancy the Americans. I mean, they always win it. There are a lot of people trying to talk up the internationals' chances at the moment because there's a lot of Australians in this team. But no, I just cannot see it. There's too much strength in that American lineup. Tiger Woods is not going to let them allow any complacency to come into the camp.
Would you go along with that, Glenn?
Yeah, completely. I think man for man, they match up much better, the Americans. They don't win the internationals. I think they're a shoo-in personally.
Okie doke. Christmas plans, Glenn, what are you going to be doing? Does Ben keep you all hard at it over Christmas, or do you get a little bit of time off?
Yeah, we get the usual 2 days off, yeah.
There's no golf on. You must be fine.
Sorry?
There's no golf on over Christmas.
Oh, I know, yeah. Still other things to do in the office. If I'm not doing golf, they'll find something else for me to do. Mm. I don't sit there twiddling my thumbs.
Oh, fair enough, mate. Okay, well, listen, have a lovely Christmas, Glenn, won't you? And a happy and lucrative New Year. Steve, have you got your Christmas plans all sorted, or are you just...
Well, yeah, I've got a Christmas treble, actually, which involves the President's Cup. I've got America to win the President's Cup, a conservative majority in the general election, and Michael Van Gerwen to win the World Darts Championship. So when those three come together, then I can relax. So January the 1st, I'll start celebrating Christmas.
Lovely stuff. Okay, thanks very much for joining us throughout 2019 for the Golf Postcards. It's been great to have you along. Thanks so much for your questions, your comments, your kind words on Twitter and other social media. We will be back in 2020. But in the meantime, there's plenty of racing and football between now and the end of the year. So join us for those postcards. And if not, a happy Christmas and a lucrative good punting 2020 to you all.
Give them the whole!
Long-term golf markets for 2020 available now on starsports.bet, including the Open, the Masters and the Ryder Cup from Wisconsin. 18 years and older only, begambleaware.org.